Can it, first of all, can everybody hear okay? It's on. I don't know. Okay. Can you hear now? Okay. So he turned it on. Maybe he shouldn't have, but he did. It's always an honor to stand before you and express some of the things God has put on my heart and tell you a little about myself and my family. Every time I do this, Dora kind of cringes and bares her head. And I don't know if she's praying for me or trying to hide from you guys. I really don't, because she don't know what I'm going to say. So she kind of like, she's not taking any chances. So if she started sliding down further in the chairs, you know I'm not going in the right direction. So hopefully she won't do that. The previous elders that spoke have set the bar so high, basically I can walk under it, you know, for my size here, so it shouldn't be a problem here. But I wish the previous elders had kind of told me what I was getting into by being an elder. For those that have been an elder, they know what I'm talking about. But it is truly an honor to be an elder. You have bestowed honor on me and the other elders. It's kind of hard for me to talk about myself because I believe there's always too many I's in any one story. I did that. I did this. And they never seem to give God the glory, because it's only by His grace and His glory that we're here tonight. I want to give you a kind of a brief history of my experience and how I got to stand before you tonight. I grew up in the country outside of Elgin, Texas. I was one of eight children. I was lucky number seven. I grew up as a Baptist in the Baptist church. All my family are Baptists. I was baptized when I was about, I guess, 9 or 10 years old. We attended a little church in MacDade, Texas. I don't know if you guys know where MacDade, Texas is, but it's between Elgin and Page. And if you don't know where that is, if you get on Highway 290 and drive east from Austin, you'll probably drive right through it and never know it's there. We spent the whole day at church. We would go about 9 a.m. in the morning, and we would stay till about 5 p.m. or later. We had dinner on the grounds. And so that's why sometimes I probably shouldn't say this, but this is why I have a hard time sometimes when I see people getting up on the invitation song and leaving, because I realize that how much time we spend in church, and usually church service here is for an hour. But anyway, I have a hard time with that. It would be nice. There's a line in the song, Blessed Assurance. In there it says, worshiping my Savior all day long. And it would be nice if we felt that way. I had no idea that the Church of Christ even existed until I met Dora. You can either thank her or blame her for the night. It's up to you guys. Blame her, okay. That works. I found out later that there was a Church of Christ in Elgin. We started dating when she was 15 years old, and I was a young child. I tell her she stole me out of my crib just to get a rise out of her. But actually, I'm older than she is, so Dora had this cousin named Baltimore Davis. I will never forget this man as long as I live. He went to church with Dora's family there in Giddings. And, of course, we started dating, so I would go to church with her because I wanted to let her know I wasn't a complete heathen at that time, you know. So I would go to church for her time to time to try to impress her like all young men do when you're dating, right? So I was at church with her that day, and he walks up to me. He said, "Are you a member of the Lord's church?" And I really didn't know what he meant by it. And I said, "Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I go to church." And he said, "You're going to go to hell." Just as a matter of fact. Boy, that made me mad. And I said to myself, I said, if you're going to be in your heaven, I don't want to go there anyway. But, you know, you must understand, I was, at that time, I was a young teenager. And I thought I knew everything, like all teenagers do, right? What's that expression is? Hire a teenager while they know everything. That's the expression that I was taught. That incident kept me out of the church for quite a while. I'll be honest with you. As I look back on it, he meant well. He really did. But his approach was all wrong. You can have the truth. You can be right. You can be well-meaning, but your approach can be totally wrong. He caused more harm at that time in my life than he did good. We all want to bring people to Christ, but there's a more gentle way of doing it. We can turn off people by our righteousness. We need to take the time to get to know them, to help them, to teach them, to love them. If we have the truth as we say we do, they will see it by our lives, not by our words. And if they're really searching for the truth, that's our opportunity to bring them to Christ, to tell them about our Lord and Savior. We can't force people to do anything. We might want to, but in the end, you can't force them. The only reason I stand here tonight is I was madly in love with Dora, and I wasn't about to let this crazy man, as I thought, come between me and her. That just wasn't going to happen. So, and I'm glad it didn't. I would go to church from time to time with Dora. And I did notice the difference in the worship service between Baptist and Church of Christ. I was paying a little attention. But the way I thought at that time, being a teenager, knew everything. We use the same Bible, right? So what was the big deal? And I thought to myself, I said, so what if they can't afford a piano or musical instrument? I wasn't going to hold it against them, you know. Dora and I was married June the 4th, 1977. At 7 p.m. in Giddings, Texas, at the South End Church of Christ. See, I didn't forget. We've been married 38 years, 8 months, 1 day, 22 hours. The reason I say that, one time I forgot how long we had been married. And, of course, she told me. You know. So I told her, I said, well, honey, it just seemed like yesterday. That's how good it's been. Guys, that does work sometimes. You know, I wouldn't advise you to try it every year you forget your anniversary, but it does work sometimes. Okay. When we first got married, we moved to South Austin, and I worked for the Veterans Affairs for the federal government. I worked there 35 years until I retired in 2010. Dora works for the city of Round Rock at the library. But she probably have threatened those people to tell them that she's probably going to retire if they make her mad. So, when we first got married, we would go to church 1 week, Church of Christ. The next week, Baptist Church. As we were doing this, I began to notice more and more of the teaching and the fellowship of the church. I was baptized in the Church of Christ October the 16th, 1983, at the Willis Lane Church of Christ in Austin. We attended there for several years until we moved to Round Rock in April of 1985. I believe the scripture is appropriate in our case and with other people of different denominations, blended families, and different faith beliefs that are getting married. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 12 through 16, where Paul is talking about marriage and divorce in the previous verses. And it starts with verse 12, says, to the rest of you, I say this, I, not the Lord. If any brother who has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And I say, if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, he must not divorce her. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through the wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. But this is the verse that pay attention to. Verse 16. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? This is true in our case. If it wasn't for Dora, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. Getting married to her was one of the best things that ever happened to me. We have three sons. Breon is the oldest, and we have twin babies, and Timothy and Jeremy. We have twin grandsons, Moses and Marcus. And we have a little granddaughter, Olivia, that's the apple of Dora's eyes. Olivia is the only girl in our immediate family at this time. I must tell you about Breon and I, and I hope this does not take away from what this was meant to be. But this might encourage some young families and help them get through some tough times with their young children and babies. Dora and I, when we first got married, we didn't have much money like most young couples. And if you probably asked her today, she'd probably say we still don't. When Brian was born, Dora was working at Motorola, and I was working at the VAs, like I said earlier. We decided that Dora would work the evening shift while I worked the day shift, and we would take care of the baby that way. We thought that I could handle Breon because he probably would sleep most of the time and we wouldn't have to pay child care. Sound like a great plan, right? And I would bond with my new son. But there was one problem that we overlooked. Breon was a breastfed baby. Breon would not take bone. He refused to take it. He just would not take it. We tried different bottles and everything. He wouldn't take it. But I want to tell you guys, also, some people probably think, so, well, you know, how did he eat? Well, he waited till his mother got home. Now, let's understand this. He didn't lose any weight. He was a big baby, okay? So he probably needed to wean off anyway, because he was really healthy. Well, anyway, we had this bentwood rocking chair. I don't even know if they make them anymore. And it had this wicker seat in it. And I had this robe that was striped. It had lots of different colors and different things in it. You could call it a robe of many colors. Well, when Breon would wake up, of course, I would go get him. And we would sit in this rocker. I would try to feed him. He wouldn't take this ball. And we would rock so much that eventually I wore all the colors off the backside of this robe, and this wicker seat had a permanent sink right in the middle of it where I had sat and rocked so much. Needless to say, Breon was one happy baby to see his mama, and I was too. We never could figure out why he wouldn't take the ball. We really didn't. He went from being breastfed to basically eating table food or baby food. Anyway. So as you know, Dory is the only girl in her family. If you don't know, she is the only girl in her family. So Dory talked me into trying for a little girl. The reason I say that is I'm from a large family. Like I just told you, it was eight of us, so I was happy with one child. we had our son Breon, right? He could carry on my namesake, so I was good. I really was. But anyway, we tried for this baby girl. Little did we know that this baby girl was going to turn into two baby boys. God does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? So, when Dora was pregnant with the twins, her last month, they put her in the hospital. She stayed in the hospital for a month with the babies. So that left me and Breon together again. Except he was 3 years old, so it was a lot better. We would go to the hospital every day. And the nurses there, they just loved him. They would give him something to eat, something to drink. But he always carried this, I don't know if they even make it anymore. He had this bucket of Lego, this huge bucket of Lego that he carried to the hospital every day. And while he was there, you know, he would play and eat, and we would go see mommy. That was the deal. And the reason I bring this up, the reason we stopped trying was the first time Dora got pregnant, went to the hospital, we had one baby. Second time she went, came back, we had two babies. So we were afraid to try the third time because every time we went, we had an extra baby. So we were afraid that if she got pregnant three times, we might end up with triplets. So we didn't want to take that chance. And the odds were getting against us that we would ever have this little girl. So that's why, you know, we don't have any girls today. And that's why she's probably so attached to Olivia. After all the exciting times that me and Breon had when he was a baby, you would have thought I would have learned something about taking care of babies, right? Well, Dora must have really loved me because not only did she entrust me with our firstborn, she left the other two with me. But they wasn't breastfed, thank God for that. So The strange part about it, when I look back on it, is Dora never missed a day at work when I was taking care of our three children. So I'm kind of wondering who had the worst job, me taking care of those three kids under 4 years old or her going to work. I hadn't figured that one out yet. You have to ask her about that. The reason I bring that up is there are many, if there's any young families here tonight and they're struggling with their children, their little children. And I know children can be overwhelming sometimes, you know. We do know that. But I want to tell you, it gets better. Now, I wouldn't advise you to do what me and Dora did, but it does get better. What I would tell you, though, is to bring them to church. The reason I tell you to bring them to church is because when we had our kids, when we would walk through that church door, it would be always some sisters grabbing those babies, taking those babies from us, and we got some rest from our kids for a while. We did, and I was happy. We didn't miss our church service. Hey, take them. But what people don't understand is that the church family is here to help you with your young families. Most members here, especially women, they love little kids, and they're willing to help you. They really are. And you need to take advantage of it. It's free babysitting, okay? And not only that, we have a nice nursery here. It's staffed. And you can see your child, visit your child, but please bring them. And you'll be surprised how they adjust to people. We didn't have a problem. They didn't have a problem going to church. We had more of a problem getting to church than they had while they were at church. As an elder, I firmly believe we have to make young people and young families feel like they are welcome, they belong, and are part of us. And that children are not a problem. They are a blessing. They are the future of the church. I know one of the young families' biggest problem is they are concerned about their children. And you have a right to be. That's where you get to know your church family. Parent is a shared responsibility, maybe not like the way we did it, but it took two to get them, takes two to raise them, and then some. You can't send them back, so try to do the best that God has blessed you with, because children are a blessing. We all say we want the world to be a better place. It starts at home with both parents doing their part and then some. I say that when you have a child, they're like little tape recorders, or in this day and age, I guess DVDs or CDs with eyes. That's what I call little kids. Because you need to be careful what you do, what you say in front of them, because you might see your actions or hear your words in front of other people. We moved to Round Rock in April of 1985. And we would drive back to Willis Lane, Church of Christ, on Sundays, and on some Wednesday nights. But to be honest, it just got too much with three little children. We worshiped there until 1986. We decided to try the Round Rock Church of Christ. We started worshiping at the Round Rock Church of Christ in the late part of 1986. We worshiped there until we moved to our present home. And we started visiting Leander in 1994. We were invited to come to Leander by the Budd family. I know some of you know the Budds. We noticed how friendly everyone was and how they were making us feel welcome. And the boys were going to school at Leander, so they knew some of the children. First impressions may be the only impressions you get to welcome someone into the Lord's house. There's only two types of visitors, folks. One that are passing through and one that lives in the area. Okay. Those that live in the area might be looking for something. That could be a church home, or it could be someone in need, or someone living in the area that needs help. A Christian family means the world to people that have no one else and feel alone in this world. Some people have not had the love of a family, and this is the only example that they might get to see. This may be the only love that they get. I was asked to serve as an elder by several folks in 2006. And I was a little surprised. I was serving as a deacon at the time. I go tell Dora the news, and she said, "You sure they're talking about you?" And I told her, "I think so." I said, "I'm easy to pick out in a crowd." All right, I was talking about my height. I'm sorry, my allergies are really flaring up tonight for whatever reason. Okay. We both agreed that maybe this is what God wants us to do. God placed us here for a reason, like he placed you here for a reason. Like everyone else, we don't see the complete picture, but we trust in his will for us. We continue to pray that his will be done through us as we try to make a difference in someone's life. What I would like people to see is we're all the same in Christ. As an elder, I would like for each of us to use our gifts to the fullest. While I know that there's a chance of an embarrassing failure when you try something new, but I also realize that an even greater embarrassment would be to do nothing with all what you have been blessed with. If you see something that needs to be done, and you're waiting for someone else to do it, it may never get done. If you can do it, just do it. If it's God's will, you will succeed. If not, try something else. There's always plenty to do in the Lord's house. For we are all God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance for us to do. That's Ephesians 2:10. As Paul tells the Christian in Romans, in Rome, in the book of Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do so diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. To make the body function as God intended it to, we all need to use our gifts to our fullest ability. Sometimes we let our past stop us from working for the Lord. I would like to tell everyone, God loves you. And no matter what you have done or what we have done in the past, He has never stopped loving us. Now, He might not like the things we do, but His love for us has never changed. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, if a man is standing still, he's not going anywhere. And I believe if a church is comfortable in what they're doing, they're not doing enough, because we can always do more. We should be asking God to please lead us by the Spirit in the direction He would have us to go, and use us to bring glory and honor to His name. Each day is a new opportunity to share the word of Christ, to help someone, to be more faithful Christians, to be better spouses, better fathers, mothers, children, and on and on. Let us never waste the opportunity that God has given us, because it could be our last. Some of us have let life beat us down. We have forgotten just how a simple smile can mean so much to someone else. What is a smile worth on someone's face to you? It has been said a smile can light up a room, can lift someone's spirits. Someone can smile and make someone else smile. A smile usually indicates that you're happy. How can you not be if you know Jesus? I'm not saying that it won't be times in your life that are difficult, but don't let those times take the joy of knowing the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures is, it comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 12. Paul's write to the church at Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding. Guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the Lord of peace will be with you. I'm going to say something that might sound even more ridiculous than some of the things I've probably already said, but here it goes. I want the place where the saints meet. It could be this building or someone's home or elsewhere where the saints meet to be so important to you or to them that you would rather miss work than miss coming together with the saints. I want you to make it a top priority to come and worship with God's people, wherever they might be. A gathering of the saints should be a time of rejoicing, a happy time. But some of us have seemed to turn it into a weekly chore. Sometimes something we do and we're in such a rush to leave. We have taken the joy out of being together. We're so stern and serious. And I know we should take God's word seriously. And we want to tell the world about our Lord and Savior. But they should see Jesus in us. Shouldn't they see the joy and the peace that Christ brings to us? Ask yourself this question. What do those you love need to hear from you today? You don't know when their time of trial will come. You just know it will come. So go ahead, reassure them before it's necessary. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. If you want good shepherds, be good sheep. My family and I need all the prayers we can get, and then some. I can't say if I'm a good shepherd. Only you and God knows that. But I will try my best to serve you as God leads me. I want to always be there for you as long as God will allow me to be. We have much work to do. We might not always agree on how we should go about it, but we should not let our difference of opinion stop us from doing the Lord's work. Whatever we do for God, we must do it well, not sloppy or haphazardous. In the New Testament, Paul explains that God expects us to put forth our best effort in our work. He says to perform it as if they were working for the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, it says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you whatever good they do, whether they are slaves or free. Let's not limit our expectations or our dream for people in the kingdom of God because of their past, their names, their occupation, or their reputation. Let us trust that God can use anyone who fully yields his or her life to his purpose. To open our hearts to see that he wants all kinds of people, different folks in his family, so that others can be touched by what they see, and so that his church can be fully energized with all the various kind of people he has created. You see, if Christ lives in us, he works through us to bless others. As I told you earlier, I'm the only member of the Church of Christ in my family. And sometimes those most difficult in our people we try to reach in our family. But we should never stop trying. Because if we do, we have given up. We have lost that opportunity. Let us not be discouraged. Instead, let us go to the Lord and ask him to lead us and show us how to minister, serve, and respect those around us so that they can reach them with God's grace. I am just a person who some of the saints here seen something in me that I didn't see in myself and was blessed to be an elder. What do I know? Thank you, guys, for your time. You have blessed me and my family more than I probably have blessed you. And thank you again for your love.
Clarence, thank you so much for what you've shared with us tonight. And I want to say to all of the shepherds, thanks so much for all that you do for us. I promise I'm not just saying that because it's job security for me or anything like that. But in all seriousness, we appreciate our shepherds so much and the work that they do, and even their willingness to share their hearts with us in this venue. I know we have a lot of folks here that aren't us, and so we're so glad that you all are here. You just witnessed was part of what we call our Heart of a Shepherd series, and so on the first Sunday evening of each month, one of our shepherds gets up and shares his heart, just as Clarence just did for us. So it's kind of a really cool thing that we started a couple months ago, and so it's always good to get to know our shepherds a little bit more. So thanks so much for being here this evening for this special night. Here in a moment, Mark's going to lead us in another song, and we'll continue our time of worship. I want you to know if there's anybody that's present with us this evening that needs the prayers of the church family as we seek to be a group of help one another along this journey. You can let us know what's on your heart, and we'd be glad to pray with you or for you. Or tonight, if there's anybody here today that is ready to give their life to Jesus in baptism, we'd love to witness you do that today. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward as we stand and continue to worship our God.